Welcome to the True Sport podcast series, brought to you by the Canadian Centre for Ethics in Sport, known as the CCES. The CCES is excited to bring you a four-part podcast series where we'll explore how activating True Sport can foster a positive sport culture and provide sport with the best chance to reach its full potential.
In the spirit of sport, we acknowledge that we gather on the traditional and unceded territories of Indigenous peoples across the expansive nation of Canada. From coast to coast to coast, these lands have hosted countless sporting events, competitions, and moments of athleticism. We recognize that many of these activities, from traditional games to modern sports, have deep-rooted histories among Indigenous communities. We respectfully acknowledge that the head office of the Canadian Centre for Ethics and Sport is located on the traditional unceded territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe people. We honour this land as well as other First Nations, Métis, and Inuit lands and territories on which we work. The CCES recognizes the outstanding contribution of the First Peoples to make sport and acknowledges the power of sport to promote reconciliation and address inequality. Just as in sport, where teamwork and respect for one another are fundamental, we understand that acknowledging the traditional territories is a collective effort towards reconciliation. It is our shared responsibility to learn from, listen to, and support Indigenous athletes and communities to foster a more inclusive, equitable, and safe sporting world.
The CCS's vision is that sport is fair, safe, accessible, and inclusive. We believe the fundamental purpose of sport can and should be to make a positive contribution to Canadian society. And we believe that ethical sport is the best way to achieve that.
But first, here's our Did You Know segment, where we share an interesting fact connected to True Sport. Today, we're sharing the meaning of the red O in the True Sport logo, which represents four things. First, the heart of sport. The red circle is an O, the middle letter of the word sport. Symbolically, it means that True Sport and the principles that drive it are at the very heart of sport. It means True Sport lives here. Second is integrity. The circle is one of the strongest and simplest of graphic shapes, a pure geometric form. Because of this, it has been used as a symbol throughout history and across many cultures to represent unity, integrity, and wholeness. The third piece is commitment. The circle, seen as a ring, represents a true and lasting commitment. Displaying it makes a public declaration of that commitment. And finally, connection. The circle represents the spirit of True Sport. The circle has no sides, and it is open to all who aspire to bring the True Sport principles to life. We're in it together, and that makes us stronger.
In this episode, we're going to focus on the practical steps and efforts required to bring the True Sport principles to life in everyday situations. We'll provide strategies for implementing and activating True Sport across all levels of sport. This episode will feature success stories, expert advice, and offer guidance for overcoming common obstacles. Whether you're looking to inspire change in your sport community or enhance your personal practice, this episode provides a comprehensive guide to making True Sport a reality.
For this episode, we want to spend our time hearing from our guests. We have a wonderful group with us today who will help us understand the journey they are taking to activate True Sport.
All right. So I'm just going to take a minute here to quickly introduce each of our guests. So we have Shauna Buchel, she/her, President and CEO of Inclusion in Canadian Sports Network. We have John Colley, he/him, retired educator and vice president of the McConnell Foundation, an active curling coach, official and board member. We have Alana Lieberman, she/her, safe sport lead at Sport Nova Scotia. And we have Brian Merritt, he/him, Executive Director, Badminton Canada, and community-level soccer and hockey coach. So welcome. We're so excited to have you all here today to join us. And thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedules to share your True Sport story.
Okay, Shauna, we're going to start with you. We're curious to learn more about what motivated and inspired you to integrate the True Sport principles into your work.
We were already doing it within our work, but now it was like we were doing it in an official way with a great logo that brought it together, and it was bringing all the pieces. And what came to me was the principles. And the one principle that always sticks to my mind, and one that we do on a regular basis, is include everybody. And it was like when I saw that principle, and especially at the time when this was back in 2020, 2021, and it just resonated even more that it's like, here we are looking to be inclusive in the work that we do. And here is this great principles that are out there that are basically resonating what we're trying to do. So why work in silos when we can work together and be able to support each other in the work that we do? So I have been on board for the past 5 years with this initiative and what they've been doing, because it is, I think, one of the biggest things that is the heart and soul of sport in the time that we needed it back then.
Amazing. John, do you have anything to add on to what Shauna just shared?
A couple of things. Long before True Sport was a formal movement, I mean, it's not new, the notion that sport can be a really powerful tool for community and individual development. When I was teaching in West Africa in the late 70s, I was, quite frankly, I was discouraged about what was going on in the classroom. But the students were so motivated and skilled and engaged on the sports field where I was very much involved. And I was able to use that type of engagement to say, well, you know, remember on the sports field, we practiced hard and it paid off on the competition we went to. We kind of have to do the same thing in the classroom, where if you study, you're likely to do better later on in your studies. Fast forward a bit, I was working at a foundation, the McConnell Foundation, and we were supporting True Sport. And the reason why is not because it was sport, but because it has a powerful impact on two things: individual outcomes around health, education, but even more importantly, community resilience. So things like the ability to integrate newcomers to Canada into society. One of my favorite stories is, Mohammed was playing soccer. There was language issues and everything. Integrating the small boy was one thing, but his grandfather found work by interacting with the other parents in the crowd. It's when you start to get those ripple effects of sport, of how it impacts communities, making them stronger and more inclusive, that is very interesting. And that's why when I was working with the McConnell Foundation, we supported True Sport. Less about, you know, because we cared about sport, although we do, and more about what it could do to make, you know, Canada more an inclusive and sustainable country.
I love what John just said about the impacts in communities, and I think that is sort of the genesis, I guess, of my involvement, and which goes back about 5 years ago when I started as Safe Sport lead, and sort of really just taking a survey of the landscape of what was Safe Sport back then, which we know is a little bit different than it is now, and came across True Sport. We were looking for ways to amplify athlete voices in our province and in our communities, and so we sort of played with the idea of using the True Sport principle as a way of amplifying athlete voices. And it just seemed like such a natural progression and avenue for us to do that and really showcase these athletes who are living the True Sport principles on and off the field of play, and showcasing them and the impacts on their communities, as John said earlier, in terms of the power that these mostly young people, but athletes obviously of any age, can bring to their communities when they live the True Sport principles. And so I'll probably talk a little bit more about that, but really showcasing the sport we want to see, the sport that we know exists. So that was how we started, and we've grown from there.
Amazing. Can't wait to hear more about it. Brian, over to you. Do you have anything to add?
I would say that I got involved in True Sport through a coaching lens. When I started coaching, I just knew that sport could do so much more than just encourage a person to kick a ball around a field or pass a puck around a sheet of ice. I started coaching soccer, and I just tried to deliver a program that was more than what the experience was on the field. Help the kids feel connected, make sure they were having fun, make sure that they understood they needed their teammates, and respect the officials in the sport that they were playing, making sure that players and parents knew that the sport experience had to be more than just the actual sport on the field, and the connections, working towards a goal, growing as humans around something they like. And to John's point earlier, sport is just the vehicle. The experience and the life skills that they get out of it are the purposeful actions that we take to help them grow and develop as human beings. And if it's left unchecked, sport can be chaotic and misdirected and used in ways that we don't want to see people use sport. But in a purposeful way, and encouraging kids to understand.
Thank you, everyone. We're going to jump into the next question. I think we'll start with Alana for you for this one. So can you share any success stories or notable outcomes that demonstrate the benefits of adopting the TrueSport principles? I think you alluded to it a little bit in your first question, so we'll circle back here and see what you have to add.
I did. It was set up as a teaser. And so based on that first question and based on some of the initial discussions we had, this vision that we had was to create an ambassador program. So we've created the Nova Scotia TrueSport Athlete Ambassador Program, which is now entering its fourth year. And it's really an opportunity to showcase athletes and coaches who live the TrueSport principles on and off the field of play. As John said, going back to that impacts in communities, who are impactful in their communities, who are leaders, who are inspirations to others. We have coaches who are involved in this program as well, who believe in values-based sport as a way of achieving safe sport.
Thank you, Alana. It's such a wonderful program, and one that is never ceases to be inspiring, and watching it grow has just been a major highlight. Brian, do you have anything to add to this around successes or notable outcomes around the benefits of adopting the TrueSport principles?
For me, I was a board member of a part of a soccer association, and we were going through a strategic planning process, and we just simply overlaid the TrueSport principles as the values of the organization. And it seems pretty simple. I mean, it was, the discussion was much longer, but the simplicity of believing in those principles as values that the organization would like to espouse or work towards was it just seemed a match for the organization. On a more even micro level, as part of my coaching a couple seasons ago, we really talked about being brave and going for it, and really putting yourself out there to try new things in practice and training and in games. We encouraged this all season by giving them a challenge. And the challenge was that they had to, if one player out of 20 girls pulled off a soccer rainbow in a game, there would be a prize for all 20 girls. And if anybody knows what a rainbow is, it's where you trap the ball between your heels and you flip it over your head into space and run onto the ball. So it's a pretty hard skill to learn, but the fact that they would try it was more important than actually executing on it. So they practiced every single practice. They tried, every one of those girls tried to do rainbows. And then finally, the last game of the year, this was their last chance to try and get the prize from the coach. And one girl went out there and tried to do it right away and failed. And 30 seconds later, tried again and did it over her head, over the other player, into the 18-yard box, gets a shot on net. The entire bench goes bananas, cheering her name. They were chanting. They were clapping. The parents didn't even know what was going on. But it meant something to them in executing that skill. They were giving her high fives. They were this kind of small community of girls who were trying to work towards something. And they got, as a prize, Rainbow Nerds, because that just made sense in providing to them. But now they practice that rainbow all the time. We're a year and a half out from when that happened. And they practice it at, whenever they have a chance. You can see them trying. And you can see in the games now that they're okay to try something and fail, but they're just trying to put themselves out there. So that connection through a goal of going for it to the team and each other was a great example of the True Sport principles in action. On a larger scale, Badminton Canada had agreed to the True Sport principles as a board, and they put out the A boards around every field of play through, and we run 20 events a year across the country with players from age 13 to age 25.
So good. Thanks so much for sharing. So to follow up, I'll start with you, Alana, wondering if you can share some best practices that you would recommend for other individuals who want to integrate the True Sport principles into their work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think making connections, if it resonates with you, if someone is listening to this and doesn't, or they're not familiar with, you know, the True Sport principles and what can be done to, again, going back to John, I love that, impacts in communities, or reach out to me. Be imaginative. You know, if you're an athlete who's listening to this and you're saying, well, what does this mean and how can I be involved? We have, again, through our ambassador program, we have a number of athletes, and we'll make those connections, and the opportunities for coaches and administrators are the same. And so making those connections, reaching out, being an imaginative, and certainly in our ambassador program, are chosen because they're leaders, they're inspiring, and they probably want to share those principles as well with other communities. And so best practices would be continue to live and showcase and embody the True Sport principles on and off the field of play. If any of the ambassadors or coaches are listening, or administrators, please continue to share, because again, there is a belief, and I believe a belief for everybody on this podcast and everyone who's listening, that if we live by these True Sport principles, again, on and off, we're going to have a great communities, great sporting experiences. And I think what we've seen through the ambassador program is people taking opportunities that we might not have even thought of, whether it being an event, whether it's taking an oath, whether it's having a booth, whether it's showing up in a classroom and sharing with your classmates, whether it's coaches, you know, as Brian was talking about, sort of weaving in those True Sport principles maybe at the beginning of a season. And so I think there's the opportunities to be imaginative, to be creative, and know that there's support and there's people across the country who also want to see this this flourish.
And John, I'm curious to know if you have any best practices that you'd like to add.
Yeah, both as a board member at a curling club and someone who teaches Learn to Curl, I guess my take on it is, it's very important to be intentional. When the board adopts something, there's a certain level, obviously you want commitment, but there's also a certain level of compliance. This is the direction we're going in, we're doing it. When it's a bunch of volunteers that you're pulling together, so I guess you want to be intentional, but situational. So, you know, following up on what Brian and Alana said, I think it's more, the most important thing is living the values as opposed to preaching about them, because you want to turn people off. But I focus on the values, the fun, the fairness, the inclusion, and the excellence. And I don't start off by saying, okay, we're going to focus on have fun today. No, you make it fun, right? Now, I do finish every practice, whether it's with an elite team or with the beginners, with two questions. Did you have fun today? And what did you learn? And if they just give some blasé answer, oh yeah, I had fun, I say, why? Just as I do in real life, if people say, you know, how are you today? And they say, oh yeah, I'm fine. I often say, why? And it causes them to have to actually think about it and give an answer. So you build the fun, the fairness.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing both of you on that question. So we're going to jump to Shauna for this one, hoping you can get us started on this next one. And then I know, John, you had some ideas, so we'll come back to you too. So Shauna, if you could tell us about the challenges you've encountered with promoting and implementing True Sport values and how you addressed them.
Well, the first thing that right off the bat, when we're promoting it, like everywhere that we go, we always like to promote things that are out there because, again, we don't believe in reinventing the wheel. We want people to jump on board with what is existing. And a lot of them are like, well, I don't have the money for it. And we're like, well, there is no cost to it. It's free. And because we deal with a lot of different diverse groups, they're like, well, what if like we don't understand it because it's not in our language? I'm like, well, guess what? They actually do have it in some popular languages based on the Canadian demographics and what is out there. So people think it's actually hard to get involved and stuff. And we like to use examples for them. So we say, so do you give out a sportsmanship award or do you give out a coach's award or some type of award from that aspect? And they're like, yep, we have that in our club. I'm like, well, you can change that to the True Sport Award, or you can just add the name into that and it's the exact same thing. And then we're giving it out. And you could also download some templates online to help with the certificates and do things from that nature. So if your one thing this year, because it can be overwhelming for people, is we're just going to give out the True Sport Award, then that's your goal for this year, is to give out the True Sport Award. And then let's see, how do we add on to it for next year? So it's being able for people to see things that are tangible. And then there's some groups that English is not their first language and they feel like it's not for them. But in realistically, we're like, no, it is for you because it is inclusive. Well, when we have that conversation, you can see people's guard going down a little bit because it's like they just like, oh, I didn't realize that, or oh, I didn't realize it was just all I had to do was this.
So good. Thank you for sharing those challenges and ways that you've addressed them. That's incredibly helpful. Okay, so to wrap up our conversation today, we'll connect with each of you again, and we'll start with John. What strategies have you used to encourage participants, parents, or other community members to embrace the True Sport principles?
I'd like to tell a story about when I was actually coaching soccer. Before the season starts, is gather everybody together. So that's not only the athletes, but also the parents. What is the kind of behavior that we want to see on the field? What kind of behavior do we want to see from parents? Well, why this was really effective? Of course, it didn't change the behavior. The parents were abusing the referee, but I'm on the other side of the field trying to coach the team. The other parents start coming around and saying, remember what we all agreed to before the year started. You have to do these things before. You can't do it on the spur of the moment, so to speak.
Such a beautiful example, John. Alana, do you have any strategies that you want to highlight?
Well, the strategy, I guess, is the program that we created, because I think in the question itself, it talked about, the athletes and the parents and other community members, including coaches and administrators. And so we created this program to do exactly what the question asks, is how do we involve them? Well, we get them actively involved. And I think so much so that any chance, as much as possible, change the narrative and discuss the positive aspects of sport and what sport can be and what's the sport we want to see. Imagine if we could have that throughout the country and the provinces and the territories where we have athletes and coaches and parents and administrators showcasing and being examples and leaders for others. And so I think that if we go into this not being prescriptive and the True Sport principles and the values are the foundation, and then what we do with them, how we show up, whether it's an ambassador program, whether it's, as Shauna said, making an oath at the beginning of the year, or what that looks like, it can be determined, but really taking those opportunities and seeing what we can do and what we can create.
Thank you for sharing that. Okay, Brian, over to you. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think from a sport perspective, some hardcore sports people, and John talked about it, that the concepts that True Sport talks about sometimes gets equated with not wanting to win or not wanting to excel. And when you're in competitive sport, the parents have some desire to see success on the field. So that was air quotes, success on the fields. And success for them is equated to wins and losses. But as a coach, success is not in wins and losses. It's in development and growth from individuals. And I see True Sport as kind of like the butter on the popcorn. Popcorn's good. We're just making it better with some butter. Like it just makes the experience so much more memorable and exceptional for the participants. Last year during the hockey season, I did this thing called it's called Features of a Great Teammate. So we got all the players together in the dressing room with the coaches and we asked them some questions. And I said, okay, well, what do you think a great teammate brings to the team? Respectful, good listener, caring, hard worker, team player, fearless, open-minded, no shortcuts. Like these are things that tie right back to the principles of True Sport. And so True Sport just gives us the framework of which we can integrate day-to-day activities with some of the tools that are available in the world around coaching or running associations. And this qualities of a great teammate was essential for us as we went through the season. So when something went wrong or somebody did something on the ice that was not reflective of the True Sport principles, or the qualities of a good teammate, we could have a discussion after the game and say, hey, you know, when you were kind of going after the referee or going after the other team and you were emotional at that moment, do you think you were being a good teammate? And when you could reflect and reinforce those ideas and concepts, you're actually making an effect on those young people well beyond scoring a goal or winning a league championship, which we did win a league championship, but it went way beyond that. And the parents afterwards just talked about how that team was a family and how they came together and they said, many of them said, I didn't really care that we won. I cared about the experience that my son was getting over the course of 8 months. I think True Sport has a greater potential, and it doesn't have to be complicated to integrate it into your day-to-day activities.
Thanks for sharing that, Brian. So, Shauna, over to you for any final thoughts around strategies that you've used.
The best ones I just use is providing people examples, because they can relate when they can see what other people are doing, whether it's in their communities, whether it's in their sport, whether it's in their cultural groups, and showing how people have integrated different cultures into True Sport and things from that nature. And so then they can visually have an understanding of what True Sport can do for their sport and their community.
Thank you so much for your incredible insights and for joining us today, Shauna, Alana, Brian, and John. Really hearing your story, your True Sport journey is inspiring. The theme of connection and the impact on communities and really using sport as a vehicle for making those connections and changes to community is truly inspiring. Your stories have left us with a sense of purpose, and we're so grateful for the work that you continue to do. Continuing on, our conversations have highlighted the profound impact sport can have on our lives. It's a powerful reminder of the benefits that result from strengthening our communities, increasing opportunities for excellence, and instilling character through sport.
Shauna, Alana, Brian, and John have conveyed that sport is more than just a game. It's a powerful tool for building connections and fostering growth. We invite you to reflect on your own experiences in sport and consider how you can contribute to a more positive sport culture. Whether it's through mentorship, volunteering, or simply sharing your story, every effort counts. That's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us.
We recognize that changing culture is a long game that takes time and effort. But with a consistent and intentional commitment to True Sport, we can create the positive sport culture we all want. For more information about TrueSport, check out our website at truesport.ca. You can subscribe to the monthly newsletter, find tools and resources, and declare your commitment by joining TrueSport. You can also find us on social media at TrueSportPure. Drop us a line and tell us how you plan to activate TrueSport.
Thanks for listening. We hope to have inspired you to play your part to help ensure good sport is happening in communities across Canada.